Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio here on Wednesday morning. Wild Card Wednesday. That means get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're going to go through that list of the poll where people voted on what they think is the most memorable and the best movies that were shot in and around Chicago and in Illinois, or that take place in and around Chicago and in Illinois. We'll do that list coming up a little bit later on. I want to hear from you guys, local movies. So what are your favorite ones? 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, and your Wildcard Wednesday requests as well. All right, when you hear Bill Withers, you can only think of one person, and that's Kevin Powell. Kevin Powell, you can hear him do sports for the Rokan Show from 3 to 7 p.m. weekdays right here on WGN. You can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720, kpowell720. And we like to have Kev on to talk sports. And let's welcome Kevin to the show. Kevin, how are you, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. And it never gets old hearing Bill Withers.
Never.
Had a talk to you, Nick. It's the best.
All right, man. Well, I'm glad that you're here. And you guys, are you having fun doing the doing the Rokan thing?
Oh, yeah, we're having a blast. It's fun to have baseball back on the radio as well.
It's fun to have some baseball here on WGN. I gotta say, I was jealous that you guys broadcast from the SNL exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast History. I've not seen it yet. And I'm like, as you know, Kevin, I'm the biggest SNL fan on the planet.
I thought of you, because it's right up your alley, man. And it's really cool the way they did it, because it's a... the way they designed the tour is they broke it down by day. So it's a day-by-day step of how the show is produced and put together.
Oh, cool.
You see what they do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, through, et cetera. And then you see Saturday. And then there's just so much cool memorabilia. And you know, I think the cool thing that I love about SNL is that it's generational. Everybody has...
Yeah.
Like if you think of SNL, you think of... You know, for me, it's like a Will Ferrell and Chris Farley and stuff like that. For other generations, it might be, you know, other guys from different years. So for me, it was awesome. I had a blast. Yeah, it's right up your alley, Nick. I think you'd love it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out. But I saw all the pictures that were being posted by you guys. You know, you're on the Weekend Update set and everything. And I was like, I got to get out there and see that.
Yeah.
So because
really awesome.
I've never stopped watching it. I've watched it from the first episode in 1975.
Yeah.
And I DVR it every week. And so...
Yeah, yeah. Enjoy your. I thought of you because it's like every Monday you hear the SNL recap from Nick D. So,
right,
yeah, it's cool, man. It's like a never ending amount of awesome memorabilia.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see it. That'll be fun. Yeah. And that must have been fun broadcasting from there. Cool for you, man. All right, we got to talk sports. You've been covering the sports. Let's talk about spring training. Let's start with we are the flagship of the Chicago White Sox. Let's start with the Sox. Is this what's going on with the rebuild here?
Well, it's it's exciting times for the White Sox. Being out there at their camp a couple weeks ago and just kind of spending some time around. I think a lot of the young guys and some of the names just to keep an ear out for, an eye out for, is that some guys that are already on the major league roster, like Yoan Moncada, Lucas Giolito, those are some cornerstone guys that I think are going to be in White Sox uniforms for a long time. And then you have guys like Michael Kopech and Eloy Jimenez, who are on the up and up. Kopech's a pitcher, Jimenez an outfielder who is one of the top prospects in all of baseball. So all the young guys at their camp are buying in. I think everybody gets what it is right now, which is a whole bunch of young guys with a lot of talent at the early stages of this rebuild. But you know, I think for a lot of teams, you see rebuilds take about 5 years. It's an easy comparison to look at the Cubs because they just did it, right?
Yeah.
You saw them tear everything down, and then it all paid off in 4 or 5 years.
Right.
I think for the White Sox, I think their talent, their competitive window might come a little bit sooner than the Cubs, because the Sox, when they started the rebuild, and what Rick Hahn, the general manager, had was more assets at the major league level to trade and then get pieces for those guys like Chris Sale and Adam Eaton. Theo Epstein and the Cubs didn't necessarily have, you know, that at their disposal. So I think for the Sox, and you're going to see them spend a ton of money in free agency next year. It's a very, a lot of people are looking forward to some of the free agents that are going to hit the market. So I think for the Sox, everybody's all in. I think that their competitive window is going to arrive a little bit sooner than it has for other teams who do go through this, quote, rebuild process.
What about the Jake Berger injury, or the Bergatron, as you love to call him?
It's such a great name.
Bergatron, yeah. What do you think of this injury? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's he was their top draft pick from last year, so it was a little hiccup in this whole rebuild. I guess the silver lining is that he is still 2021, probably wasn't going to be in the majors anywhere for another couple of years anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was running to first, tore the left Achilles, so he's going to miss the entire season. That's a bummer for sure. But he is young. He's approaching it the right way. He said all the right things. He's mature for his age. There's a reason he was a top 10 draft pick. So that one stings a little bit, but as I said, the talent for the White Sox is, you have five guys in the top 100, and they'd have a whole lot more, but some of those guys that were top prospects last year are already on the major league level, so they're not necessarily prospects anymore. But a little hiccup there for the rebuilding Sox, and stings a little bit. Tough to sugarcoat it, to be honest, but he is young and he's still got a lot of years ahead of him.
Yeah, but the Bergatron, that's got to be a bummer for him, man. To already this early be out for the season. That's really that sucks.
It does sting. It does, and everybody was so positive, and you know, I had a chance to talk to him a lot. He's actually a huge Blackhawks fan, Nick.
Oh yeah,
I think you could appreciate that. Yeah. He's actually a St. Louis native, but he grew up. He was raised properly. He's a
Wow, good for him. So, that's grew up in St. Louis, and he's a Hawks fan. Wow.
Yeah, he gets endless amounts of trash talk from his buddies, but I saw him walking around with his Blackhawks winter cap on, and he says he's got the NHL package so he can watch all the games when he's on the road and stuff. So it does sting. And he's building some relationships, and I think the whole clubhouse is really bummed to see it because he's a really likable guy. A lot of people are expecting him to be a White Sox third baseman for a long time. So it stings, but again, he is very young, and
right.
I think he still has a long future ahead of him.
All right. Now, what was the vibe? Because you went to both spring trainings. You did some visits with the Cubs. You did some visits with the White Sox. What's the tone? The tone, and what's the difference between, or the similarities between, what's happening at those camps?
Yeah, I think for the Sox, it is a little bit looser right now just because they're young and they're having fun. And I don't think anybody has any expectations of them competing for a World Series this year. Doesn't mean they're not going to be fun and interesting to follow all season. For the Cubs, it is. It's basically World Series or bust. And a lot of people don't want to commit to that because you could still have a really good season and not come away with the World Series. But the Cubs, man, they do not have a lot of holes on that roster. What Theo Epstein has done, they have a 1-5 starting rotation. You've got a rebuilt bullpen. You've got your positional players are pretty much set. So for me, I think they were upset the way last season ended. I think they were happy to be going back to the NLCS. But, man, they have so much talent at the big league level, where the Sox, it's more of a young, growing club. For the Cubs, they have pretty much everything they need to compete for a World Series. So for me, it was a little more of a business-like approach for the Cubs. It's never too uptight at Cubs camp, as long as Joe Maddon's running things. And
yeah.
He's kind of turned their camp into this art exhibit. He's got paintings and stuff being put up throughout the complex. And Maddon's always doing something a little wild and out there. So it's not uptight by any means, but I think they have their their sights set on another long run in the postseason.
Yeah. Now for the Cubs, you talked a little bit on your blog about another swing adjustment for Jason Hayward.
We hear basically the exact same thing about Jason Hayward as we did last year. This time was that he's reconstructed his swing. He looks great at the plate. And all this sort of stuff, and I even Googled, Jason Hayward 2017 swing spring, and the headlines were basically identical to Hayward's swing spring 2018. Hayward reinventing himself, and I even, in that blog, I even posted headlines from last spring. I'm not really knocking the guy, and I'm not even necessarily saying that his new swing isn't going to work, but it's just, man, for a guy that's getting paid so much, I don't know if I've ever seen a player continually adjusting his swing, you know, and as dramatically as he is doing it. So until I see him for a full season, and he was much better at the plate last year than he was in 2016.
Oh, without question.
Which was just,
without question.
It wasn't great by any means.
Yeah.
I mean, it was certainly better than 2016. 2016 was a disaster. So we saw some improvement. He did have some injuries last year as well, some hand injuries. So we'll see. I'm sort of like kind of just like, okay, show me the full season of improvement, and then I'll buy into your whole swing adjustment.
You know, I gotta say, I agree with pretty much everything you're saying. But the thing is that I root for Jason Hayward, man. I want him to. I really want him to do well. I really do. And I think the main reason is because of what happened during Game 7. Like he was the guy.
Yeah.
He was the man who called the meeting, who put it all together, and he was the guy who felt the worst for the kind of performances that he gave throughout, you know, the late season and the postseason in 2016. And I was just I want him to do well, and if he has to do 57 adjustments on his swing, I want him to do well.
Yeah, I hear you. And he's a stand-up guy. He signed that huge contract, and then in 2016 he was having this horrible year. Every game, whether it was an 0-for-4 performance, he was a stand-up guy, and he always talked with the media. So he earned my respect right away. And then, of course, yeah, the rain delay speech was obviously will go down in Cubs history forever. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think he's a really good guy. I think the clubhouse, you know, all his teammates like him. And, yeah, whatever it takes, I guess. I mean, if your OPS is going to jump 30 or 40 points from making swing adjustments last spring, you might as well do it again and hope for the same. But no, I'm with you. I think he's a really good dude. And, you know, I think I actually put that in the blog. I'm like, I think Hayward won some points with Cubs fans, despite that 2016 Rocky season because of what he said and what he did in the World Series.
There's no question about it, man. No question about it. Okay. Hang on a second, Kevin. All right.
All right, you got it, man.
All right, man. Kevin Powell is with us. You can hear him do sports for the Rokan Show on weekdays here, 3 to 7 on WGN. Follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. I don't get to see Kevin anymore very often because, you know, he used to be Steve Cochran's producer, so we would cross paths nearly every morning. But that's why we like to get him on to talk about sports and hang out with him. Kevin Powell, and we'll come back and we'll talk more sports. We'll talk a little Blackhawks. We'll talk a little Bulls and some Bears and some March Madness stuff. We want to get some thoughts on what's going on with that as well. And that's all coming up right after we take a break. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in. Any artist, any song, anything, get them in. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about the best movies made in or taking place around Chicago or Illinois. There was a Tribune poll that was conducted. We'll talk about the results of that and then open up the phone lines and get you guys talking about that as well. 312-981-7200 for talk and text and Wildcard Wednesday requests. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. So there you go. Kevin Powell is on the line with us. He does sports for the Rokan Show from 3 to 7 p.m. weekdays here on WGN. You can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. kpowell720. Let's get Kevin back on and talk a little more sports. Hey, Kev.
Hey, man.
How long were you doing the spring training thing out there in Arizona?
I was there for 12 days.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I absolutely love it out there. I love the desert. I love being around baseball this time of year. 12 days, and it was cool. Well, I was planning on being there for a week, and then we got the rights deal for the White Sox.
Right.
So they were like, you know what, why don't you stay for a couple more days and be there for the first couple actual games. So, yeah, it was great being out there, lucky and spoiled by this station to be able to do that. So it was fun. I love it out there in the desert.
Very, very cool. All right. Well, back here in the sleet and snow, everybody's getting ready for March Madness in the NCAA tournament. Is this a good time? Do you do the brackets? You do the whole thing, right? You follow?
Oh yeah, I get into it. Now, you know, I don't think Northwestern had the kind of year we all anticipated, and I guess the good news is we do it. We have another. Northwestern was the story last year. This year, the story it's Loyola.
Yeah,
they beat my Illinois State Redbirds in the conference championship to lock in a bid for the tournament. So I think Chicago's kind of rallying around them, and I think they got a really good team. Porter Moser, their coach, has them at a good spot. So, yeah, Loyola, the Illinois will have a school in the tournament in Loyola, and it's not one of the Big Ten schools. It's not one of you know, ISU or Southern, it's Loyola. So their first bid since 1933 or since 1985. So I think we can get behind that. But, yeah, I love March Madness, man. It's fun. I follow college hoops all year. I wouldn't say I'm exactly glued to it all season like some people. But, yeah, I think it's when I think of March Madness, I think of spring and kind of like the beginning of spring. I just have all these, like, you know, it's just a cool time of year for sports. And, yeah, I totally get into March Madness.
Yeah. So now, what were your feelings actually when they beat Illinois State?
well, to be honest, you know what? Illinois State, it's kind of, we're kind of used to it. It's their fourth time in 6 years being in that conference championship game, and they've lost all of them. So, you know, and I went down to Frisco, Texas, what was that, 3, 4, 5 years ago for the football national championship, and they had the lead with about 80, 90 seconds left, and then Carson Wentz, the current quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, drove down and led North Dakota State to a national championship. So I've had my heart broken a few times by Illinois State Athletics, Nick, so I can kind of handle these things. But, no, it was a good run by ISU, and it stung a little bit. But I said before the tournament, I said, if it's not ISU, I hope it's Loyola. So it turned out that way.
But I understand during the game you brought out your ISU football helmet chip and dip tray.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's one of the perks when I was working for when I was producing for Steve in the morning. We used to have Coach Brock Speck on, the head football coach, and Steve, you know, was always cool. He's like, yeah, you know, you're big at ISU. Let's get some Redbird stuff on. So the Illinois State people, some good people there, sent me some Redbird swag, and one of the things happened to be a. It looks like a Redbird football helmet. Put it on the top. You can put your chips, and then sort of where the face mask is, there's a little bit of the dip area where I put some salsa. So that was pretty. That was pretty fun. I love the football helmet dip chip.
What are you looking at for March Madness? Are there going to be clear teams that are going to stand out? Our favorites.
I think it's going to be pretty wide open. I think for a lot of people listening, I'm sure they have, you know, hopes of Big Ten. So Purdue and Michigan State probably have the best chances. We saw Michigan win the Big Ten conference tournament. So I think Purdue's got a really good shot to go deep, and same for Michigan State. So for me, I always kind of keep an eye on the local stuff. So Purdue and Michigan State, I think, are the best hopes. Out of the Big Ten, and then of course Loyola. We'll all be watching closely what they do. And yeah. I think right now it's probably looking like they're some early projections. I saw them as like a 12 seed, 11 seed. So I think we can kind of see that for them. Or Purdue's probably looking at a 2 seed, and same for Michigan State.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll keep in touch, and then you guys will be doing the bracket. Will you be doing the brackets on Rose Show? I know they do it on Steve's show.
Yeah, we always have fun with it. I think we'll probably do some sort of show bracket, or maybe just have a competitive bracket pool just for everybody on the show so we can trash talk and whatnot. But I'm sure we'll have plenty of March Madness fun and good stuff there.
Yeah, you know, I just want you to know that a couple of years ago, I did my brackets and I was beaten by the damn goldfish in the newsroom.
Hey, rest in peace to that goldfish.
I know. Yeah, but he won. He picked more winners than I did. That's how.
That was Knarble.
Yeah,
the newsroom fish, and yeah. That fish passed away. But that fish had picked that fish had been involved in all sorts of stuff. We had the Knarble pick horses for the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah,
and we've done March Madness, so we may have to get a new fish for March Madness to help us out with our picks.
Absolutely, yeah. I was just like really embarrassed to be beaten by a fish. That's just so.
That's okay. I think most people close their eyes and just kind of point and then write the name in, or they go by colors or nicknames.
Yeah, I don't even. I've never followed college. College sports. I've never really followed college sports. So I don't know what that. Whenever I do the brackets, and we all did it because everybody on GN did it, and we did it on the website, and I think it was me and Kevin Richter were the worst. If I remember correctly.
That's okay. Yeah. Everybody's mostly just completely aimlessly guessing anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So the Bulls are making trades at the deadline, just like the Hawks have been doing. And both of these teams are having similar seasons, I think. Yeah. Disappointing seasons. Very disappointing. What's going on with the Bulls? What's the story with them right now?
Yeah, well, I think for the Bulls, we kind of anticipated this. And actually, in some ways, I think they've had a fairly productive year because it kind of looks like they've won the Jimmy Butler trade. Remember, they sent Jimmy Butler to Minnesota. They get Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and Lauri Markkanen as a part of that. And those three guys look like they could be a strong part of the core for a while. Mm-hmm. That's what they had hoped for. You got three guys that you can build around, and then you're going to have a top pick in the draft because they have, I think right now, the eighth worst record. So it's kind of a race to the bottom for the Bulls.
Right.
They're in full tank mode, as Bulls fans refer to it.
Yeah.
So in that regard, in some ways, it's kind of been a successful year for the Bulls, to be honest. For the Blackhawks, man, this one's been this one stings. Although seeing Kane to Taves for the winner
last night they won 2-1, and we have a Blackhawks Express that we'll play back. You'll hear all the highlights on that. Those were highlights that are few and far between this season. It's been a heartbreaking season for me. So
yeah, what's it been like for you?
It's been tough, man. It's been tough. It really has. I mean, there have been times when I haven't even, I like turned the games off, and I never do that.
I feel like when you ask me about the Hawks, I just want to like interview you about the Blackhawks.
Well,
the biggest.
I'd rather not talk about that right now. Actually, I'm feeling
okay.
I'm feeling very vulnerable right now, Kevin. So
yeah.
All right, listen, buddy. Always a pleasure. It's great to talk to you. I'm glad you're doing having so much fun and doing a fine job for the Rokan Show. 3 to 7 p.m. weekdays here on WGN. Follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. Kevin, thanks, buddy, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me, Nick. Appreciate
Absolutely. There you go. Kevin Powell, everybody. Listen to him on the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. All right. News is next. We'll take a break and get to that right after this.